Hello and welcome to Back to the Bible, a series that we have been busy with for some time now. And we've come now to an introduction to the first letter of John in the New Testament, just a few books before the end of the Bible, which is, of course, the Revelation of John. And so, John 1, if you have a Bible with you, please turn to that, and it'll be most helpful if you keep it open and follow the texts as we go through our message this morning. The first letter of John then, chapter 1, from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy, or your joy, complete. This is the message. This is the message. Verse 5. We have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We know we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. This is a kind of theme through this first letter of the Apostle John, who writes to these believers at the end of the first century about the greatest fellowship in the world, the fellowship that true believers have with the Lord and with one another. We were introduced to John, the disciple Jesus loved, when we introduced his gospel. John, the brother of James, the sons of thunder they were called. John, another fisherman, a disciple who, like Peter, left his nets and his father's business to follow Jesus. And follow Jesus, John did, in a relationship that was even more intimate than that of the other apostles, reclining on Jesus' chest at the last Passover, standing under the cross with Jesus' mother, and looking after her like she was his own mother after Jesus was crucified. John becoming a leader in the rapidly growing Jerusalem church, alongside his fisherman friend Peter. But outliving Peter and the Apostle Paul, escaping martyrdom through waves of anti-Semitism under Nero and successive emperors, though banished to Patmos in the Mediterranean under Emperor Domitian's reign in AD 96, but there John received the revelation of Jesus Christ and probably returned to the Church of Ephesus until he died. He had a unique opportunity then to gain insights not only into the life and teaching of Jesus, but also the growth of Jesus' church, the community of the redeemed, who have experienced and were experiencing the greatest fellowship in the world, the communion of the saints, not the saints in heaven, but the saints on earth, a fellowship like nothing else on earth, fellowship in the Word, capital W, the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship with Christ and with one another in the Spirit of Jesus, the enabling of the Holy Spirit. You will recall that in his Gospel, the Apostle John referred to Jesus as the Logos, the Greek word, translated in English, Word. Jesus was the Word, a term that to the Hebrew mind would naturally stand for the Word of the Lord, the revelation of God in their scriptures, what we call as Christians the Old Testament. The Logos, the Word, to the Roman mind, absorbed with power and authority, the Word would communicate, correctly understood, Jesus, the ultimate authority. And then to the Greek mind of the time, the Word, the Logos, would refer to the ultimate wisdom that is behind all things in time and eternity, the ultimate meaning behind all that exists on earth and in the heavens. That, says John, is Jesus, the eternal Son of God. He is the Word, capital W. He is the revelation of God to man. And that Jesus not only has eternal life, John tells us, he forgives sin and he gives eternal life to all who believe. In his Gospel, John, you remember, gives seven declarations of Jesus that identify him with Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am, the God of the Old Testament. Each declaration given by John in his Gospel is followed by or preceded by a supernatural, visible, unmistakable miracle, which John calls a sign in his Gospel, a pointer to who Jesus is, the living bread. He breaks bread, and with a few little bread cakes and fish, he feeds over 5,000. He is the light of the world. He heals a person born blind to show that he truly is. He is the door. He is the good shepherd who lays down his sheep, his life for the sheep. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he who lives believing in me shall never die. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the genuine vine. Each of these I ams in John's Gospel is demonstrated in a supernatural, a miracle wrought by Jesus to just verify the truth of the statement. And each miracle leads to faith in Jesus and reveals the glory of God. John's Gospel was written to bring people to faith. His first letter is written to those who have come to faith. And in his letter, he majors on the signs that point to authentic faith in Jesus Christ, a real, authentic walk with Jesus. The Gospel highlights the person of Jesus, the Word of God. The letter highlights the message of Jesus, showing them to be one, inseparable. Jesus himself and the message, the Gospel that proclaims him, inseparable. The Gospel highlights eternal life. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. The letter highlights the joyful fellowship of those who have eternal life. The letter shows us that life in Christ, the way, is the way of life, it's the way of light, it's the way of love. These three concepts of life and light and love shine through this letter that the Apostle John writes at the end of the first century. The Word, who is Jesus, and the Word about Jesus, is the way of life. And he who has the Son of God has life, life in all its fullness. He who has the Son of God walks in the light, for in Christ there is no darkness at all. As the Apostle says in his letter, chapter 1, verse 5, that we read a moment ago, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, and if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. And he who has the Son of God not only walks in newness of life and walks in the light, but he walks in love. Not the love of the world, but the love of God, the God who is love. In a day at the end of the first century, when the spirit of Antichrist is being manifested in false teachings that are a denial of the reality of Christ and the gospel, the Apostle John writes a fatherly pastoral letter to God's children of all stages in their spiritual growth. Those still just children in the faith, those who have grown to be young men and women in the faith, and those who have become full grown in the faith. John's letter is an outpouring of his love for them all. A tough love that makes it very clear what authentic Christianity really looks like. And so he gives his readers in this letter the essential characteristics of the genuine believer, the true Christian, the authentic follower of Jesus. He says in his letter very clearly, there are four tests of true faith, which are the basis and very foundation of real Christian fellowship. These tests are not given in order of importance. They're all important. If you don't pass even one of the tests, then you need to check up on whether you really are a Christian. This is how you know, is a constant refrain in John's first letter. This is how you know. So there is a moral test. Those who truly love the Lord and keep his commandments are genuine Christians. So look at these texts in your Bible. Chapter 1, verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. You have to pass the moral test. Look at chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the person who does the will of God lives forever. That's what Jesus taught. In the day that people stand before Jesus in the judgment, Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and in your name done wonderful works? And he will say to many of them who have such a declaration at the judgment, depart from me, for I never knew you. And so Jesus says, those who do the will of my Father are those who are truly mine. The Apostle John is reiterating the same truth in this first letter, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. And then also look again at chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Here do we pass the moral test. John says in chapter 3 and verse 3, everyone who has this hope in Jesus purifies himself, just as Jesus is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared, that is Jesus, he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. We pass the moral test. No one who continues in sin has either seen him or known him, says the Apostle John in his letter. Look at chapter 3, and verses 9 and 10. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him, and he cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So there is a moral test. True believers, John makes it quite clear, will not continue in willful sin. It's not as though we don't sin from time to time. John makes that clear in chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and he is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. John is saying Jesus is our high priest and mediator and intercessor at the right hand of God the Father. And if we sin, we can come to him, and on the basis of his death in our place on the cross of Calvary, where he bore our sin and judgment in our place, on the basis of his broken body and shed blood, God is able to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all righteousness. But we cannot continue to walk in sin, otherwise that's just a living demonstration of the fact that we're not authentic Christians. We must pass the moral test, says John. And then in his letter he shows us clearly we have to pass the social test. We must love one another in the fellowship of God's people, just as the Lord Jesus has loved us. Chapter 2 and verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother and sister lives in the light. There is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. We have to pass this social test. Chapter 3, verse 11. Look at this. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We should love one another. Do we truly love one another? We have to pass the social test. Look down at verse 16 of chapter 3. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And so if anyone has material possession, sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. And so there's a social test. We're to love one another just as Jesus loves us. Verse 23, this is his command, to believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. Look at chapter 4 and verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Are we passing the social test this morning? Verse 19 of chapter 4, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother or sister whom he's seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. Reminds me of that little saying, oh, to live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. And to live below with the saints we know, why, that's another story. But God expects us, if we truly know Christ, to make sure that we love one another truly. We pass the social test. Then there's a doctrinal test, not just our behavior, but the things that we believe are crucial to authentic Christian living. So now turn with me to chapter 2 and verses 18 to 23. Dear children, this is the last hour, says John. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. And so he goes on to say in chapter, the social test, the doctrinal test rather, chapter 4 and verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see that they're from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. And so John says, there's a doctrinal test. If you're an authentic Christian, he says, chapter 2, verse 23, no one who denies the Son, that is Jesus, has the Father. No one who denies Jesus has the Father, has God as his Father. But whoever acknowledges the Son, Jesus, also has the Father. And so see that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And so the Apostle John makes it quite clear that if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you will both believe the things that are true about Jesus, and you will behave in the right way. You will become more and more like Jesus as you seek to follow him. And then there is fourthly what we may call the spiritual test. The old songwriter put it well. He said, if one should ask of me, how shall I tell? Glory to Jesus, I know very well. God's Holy Spirit with mine doth agree, constantly witnessing, Jesus loves me. Yes, there's not only a moral test, am I keeping God's commandments? There's not only a social test, am I loving my brothers and sisters as Christ loves me? There's a doctrinal test, am I believing all the Bible says about Jesus, his person and work? There is this spiritual test. John points it out in verse 7 of chapter 5. The Holy Spirit testifies because the Spirit is truth. The same truth that the Apostle Paul gives us in his letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul says in verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, referring to the Holy Spirit in the life of the true believer. And by him, that is the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. We're able to have a true relationship with God as our Father because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. The Spirit of Jesus, in verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That's Romans 8, verses 15 and 16. There is a spiritual test. The born-again believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So John, through his first letter, gives us these tests of true faith. Four tests that we need to pass if we're going to call ourselves true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The moral test, whereby our behavior is patterned after Jesus, and we refuse to countenance willful sin in our lives. The social test, we demonstrate our love for Jesus by demonstrating practically our love for one another in the church, the body of Christ, the community of the redeemed. There's a doctrinal test. We're only authentic followers of Jesus if we believe all that the Bible says about him, his person and work. And then the spiritual test. Are we truly born again? Does the Holy Spirit of God dwell within us, testifying to our spirit that we are God's children, giving us the assurance of everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ? Here then is the burden of the Apostle of Love in his first letter, that we as Christians might enjoy rich fellowship, partnership, communion with the Lord and with one another. But to qualify, you have to pass the tests, the moral test, the social test, the doctrinal test, and the spiritual test. It is the joyous and rewarding fellowship of those, and only those, who are grounded in the truth regarding the person and work of Jesus, refusing to countenance sin in their lives, loving the brotherhood and the sisterhood, and experiencing the life of Christ through the Holy Spirit who dwells within them. These are the grounds for Christian assurance. These are the demonstration of genuine Christianity. I'm giving you the test list, John the Apostle is saying. I'm giving you this test list in my letter, so that one, you may know without a shadow of doubt that you are the children of God. These things I write to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, he says, that you may know that you have eternal life. Chapter 5, verse 13. He gives us this test list in the second place so that we will enjoy the greatest fellowship in the world, which is only possible with authentic born-again believers, those who are walking in the light, the life, and the love of Jesus Christ together. And then thirdly, he's writing these things so that we will defeat the devil and the powers of darkness and walk in the light of Christ, just as Christ is in the light. True Believers, chapter 5, he says, have life, victory, and certainty. And so the conclusion of the matter, chapter 2, verse 28, and now, dear children, continue in Christ, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for this first letter written by the aged Apostle John. We thank you for his gospel that is an appeal to people who do not know Christ, to turn to Christ in faith and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Thank you that John wrote his gospel so that believing in Jesus, we might have eternal life. And now thank you that he writes this letter so that those who have come to faith in Christ may enjoy true fellowship with one another in the Lord, and that they may be able to walk in the light just as Christ is in the light, and so have fellowship with one another. And we thank you that this letter also gives us the tests of true faith and enables us to be grounded and founded in a genuine relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then we thank you, our Father, that this letter also shows us quite clearly that it is only when we pass the tests, only when we demonstrate a genuine faith in Jesus by a transformed life that keeps on growing to maturity in Christ and in fellowship with other believers, that we can truly enjoy victory over the enticements of the world, the entanglements of our fallen nature, and the attacks of the evil one. Thank you, Lord, that John makes it quite clear that for this cause the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil, our faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. And so we pray, Father, that your name may be hallowed in our lives, that your kingdom may be experienced, your reign. Take the throne, Lord Jesus, and reign in our lives, we pray. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you enable us to so walk in fellowship with you and with one another that we may demonstrate, just as the early church did, the wonderful world-beating fellowship that we have in Jesus. That the testimony of the pagans in John's day was, behold how they love one another. We pray that we as followers of Jesus may be an authentic, living demonstration of the marvelous fellowship, communion that we have with Christ and with one another. And so may now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Watching and waiting, looking.